We continue with our theme on the greatest words ever spoken, and so this morning our scripture, more of the words of Jesus. First from Luke 6. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And then a couple chapters later, Jesus gave us this example. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. They had no roots. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. This is the explanation that Jesus offers for this parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and not be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it. They have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. These are the greatest words ever spoken about the human heart. They are, of course, as I said, the words of Jesus, describing the four conditions of the human heart. Now, Jesus has often used things of nature to help us understand things that are spiritual. And so these four soil types are depicting four heart types: hard, rocky, thorny, and good. Now, I did preach a 4-week series back in July of 2023. I know you all remember it. But that was before you had a website. So if you do want to hear that series again, called Cultivating the Soil of Your Heart, where we look at each one more in depth than I'm going to today, you'll have to go to Thorndale's website, and you'll find it there. In that series, we looked at each soil type and heart condition in a lot more detail than we'll have this morning. Today, I'm offering more of a refresher message under the idea that these are the greatest words ever spoken about the human heart. So let's begin with the footpath. This ground is packed down. The seeds sit on top of the ground until the birds come and snatch it away. Jesus offers this description of the heart. He says, it is like when you hear what I say, you don't understand. When you see what I do, you still do not understand. For the heart of these people are hardened. Their eyes cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes. So their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand. And so they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. A person with a hard heart hears the word and says, yeah, that doesn't apply to me. I don't really like that message. I definitely don't believe that. I just don't want to hear it. I really don't need to listen to this. Such a person rejects the word, excuses themselves. They brush it off, and they go on about their business, allowing the birds to eat the seed sown. This is a hazardous condition in the garden of our heart. Then there is the rocky soil. Jesus offered this explanation. The seeds that fell on the rocky ground stand for those who hear the message gladly. As soon as they hear it, they get all riled up and excited. But it doesn't sink deep into them. They don't last long. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they just give up. Well, what are the rocks? They can be pretty much anything, but the hardest rocks to clear away are the rocks of wrong believing. For example, believing that God is mad at you. That's a pretty big rock. You can't be intimate with someone you think is mad at you. Or that God is disappointed in you. Another rock of wrong belief. Or believing that whatever you've done cannot be forgiven, that there is no way that God would forgive you from these things. Or believing that in God's eyes you are worthless and without value. You're not lovable. All of these things are things that people believe in their hearts, which are all wrong. The Bible refutes every single one of them. These wrong beliefs can litter the soil of your heart. And although you want to know God, this wrong believing prevents you in many ways from going deep with God, because ultimately you're maybe a little afraid of him, or you have wrong ideas about the nature of God, or maybe you just don't simply trust that God is good, or you don't believe that God really loves you. The sower also throws seeds among the thorns, which grow up and get choked by the weeds. Jesus said this is someone who hears the word, but the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Jesus identifies two types of weeds, the weeds of worry and the weeds of deceitfulness of wealth. Now, a weed of worry often leads to discouragement and despair. This little weed can impact our health. Maybe this little weed is about a health concern or a troubling circumstance. And as we know from nature, weeds grow fast. And before you know it, this weed that you are facing has a hold of your thoughts. You can't shake free from it. It is occupying all your thinking, and it begins to choke your faith. We may begin to doubt God's love or God's provision or God's sovereignty. Now, a weed formed by the deceitfulness of wealth has the potential to redirect your life away from the blessings of God. You may become very wealth-focused and give up things that God gave you to treasure, like your family, your health, your time. The deceitfulness of wealth misleads you that money can solve all your problems and that it can offer you security and provide you with happiness. Jesus calls it a weed. So we understand the hard heart, the rocky heart, and the thorny heart. We haven't yet talked about the good soil, but we'll get there. It's good that we understand what the soil represents. And based on Ephesians 3:16-19, which says, I pray that from God's glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. The soil represents God's love. And if the soil is that representation of God's love, then the condition of the soil would represent your personal revelation of how much God loves you, meaning your heart knowledge, not just a head knowledge that God is love, but a heart knowledge that God loves you. you. So the rocky heart has, sorry, the hard heart has no revelation of the love of God. The rocky heart has some understanding, but their heart is so cluttered that they can't really grasp this love and receive it because of all the wrong beliefs they have about God and his love. The thorny heart believes God loves them, but they are so focused on the things of this world that they lose the sense of God's love in amidst the troubles and trials. So before we talk about the good soil, how do we change our soil type? It can be changed. That's the good news. All we need to do is cooperate with the Holy Spirit to cultivate the soil of our heart. So you may need your heart rototilled to loosen up your stubbornness. You may need some sifting to remove the rocks. You may need a good weeding, the kind where you dig out the roots. Everyone can have good, fertile soil if they want to. But they must cooperate with the Holy Spirit and do things to flood themselves with God's word, making space for God in their life. Easy things to do are just choose Christian music to listen to. Maybe not all the time. If it's not your jam, it might become your jam. Read God's word. Read it for enjoyment. Don't necessarily read it like study, although you certainly can. But get the habit of just reading the story that's there. Listening to Christian podcasts. Another way that we can flood the soil and loosen it up. It's really exposing, giving God more time in our life will certainly help to rototill and to cultivate the soil that we have. And above all of those things, pray for revelation of God's love for you. Pray that God would shift it from just a knowledge you have in your head to an understanding and a knowing you have in your heart. You are loved by the creator of the world, and that you are known by this creator, and that nothing about you makes him turn away. He loves you to your core, your flaws and all. Remember that God's strength is made perfect in your weakness, so of course you must have some weakness. That's the God who created you, who loves you, who wants you to be good soil, so that he can bring out in your life all the goodness, the fullness of God through the fruits of the Spirit. You must be willing to question your beliefs, especially if you can't root them or find scripture to support them. You will not find a passage in the New Testament that tells you that God is angry. There is some wrath in the Old Testament. That was before the cross, and we're an Easter people. So we look into the New Testament. What does the New Testament tell us about God? So question your beliefs. So having good soil is the ultimate goal. It's all things sown into the good soil produce a harvest. And any cultivating you do to gain that good soil is not a waste of time. It will always produce something in your life that is good. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness, the faithfulness, the self-control, all these things are the seeds of the Holy Spirit. And the production of the fruit in our life is related to the degree to which we allow the Spirit to operate in our life, and the understanding we have of God's love for us. The more time we give to God, the more we invest in the soil, the more production we will see. And who doesn't want a little more of those things in their lives? The principle is really easy to understand. It's logical. The more you invest in the garden, the more you will grow from it. Being a failed vegetable gardener, I can tell you, if you don't stay on top of the weeds, you lose the whole thing. Anyone else in that boat? Yeah. We're trying again this year. And as I said, when you look into God's word, don't just read it and then walk away for a check mark. Read it with the idea that I want to get to know God and the stories of God's people. Make it more a joy and not a task to be done. When you encounter God that way, your heart is fresher, and God can speak to you and show you things in his word. And also, when you read God's word and you see things there, they say, oh, wow, I haven't lived that way, but I sure can now that I know. And then let it impact you. Live the way that you see. Read the stories of Jesus, and then remember, we're to imitate him. So allow those things to sink into you. Now, the other gospel that gives the account of this parable of sowing the seeds talks about three different production levels. There's a 30-fold, a 60-fold, and a 100-fold, which means that even when you have good soil, there's room for more cultivating, that you can bring your 30-fold to 100-fold. Don't just be satisfied with a little of these fruits, but want them all, and want them all to be 100-fold. Do the work of tending the garden, keeping the weeds out, and rock picking, as all farmers know and love. Allow God's light to shine on your garden, and the Holy Spirit to water, as your roots will grow deeper and deeper into the love of God. Apply what you've learned. Obey God's teachings and make this one life that you get to live amazing. The world has nothing to compare. Let us go forth into the world in peace and dedicated to the Lord's service. Let us hold fast to that which is good, and render to no man evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the needy and afflicted, and honor all people. Let us love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of his Spirit, and may God's blessing be upon us and remain with us always.